on the link for Baltimore.
Yeah, that's why I called you again, because I knew.
And I thought, okay, well, just give me a minute. And then someone else started giving class, and I thought, that's very strange. I thought I was supposed to give class. And I realized I pushed on the everyday chant. Anyway. Sorry. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Once again, I thank very much for joining the call today. I welcome everyone for the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Jayasri Devi Mataji with us to enlighten us on the chapter, fourth chanto, 29th chapter, verse 51 and 52. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Panam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for joining Mataji and giving your valuable association. I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji.
Okay, I'm trying to see. Is my webcam on? I can't see for some reason. No. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Cannot start the webcam. Now, why is that? Failed to start the video camera. Let's try this. Maybe that's better. Yeah, remind me not to do a class on Monday because I dress the deities on Monday.
And
a big rush.
Yes.
Okay, am I here yet? No.
No, we cannot see you, Mataji.
Yeah, it's trying to open, I think. Viewing today, start the video. It still says it can't start the video. I don't know why.
That's okay, Mataji. It's not starting.
It's not the most important thing.
It's important, but it's not working. We cannot do anything.
All right, we'll try it that way. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it won't start. All right, so maybe just as well. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Astra Terasata, His divine grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada Kichai, Anantakoita Vaishnava Nikichai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kichai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nichananda, Sri Adoita Gadadhar, Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kichai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gaur Gopinath, Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kichai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadweep Dham ki jai, Ganga Maya ki jai, Jamuna Maya ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And I see what my problem is. I am on your screen and I can't minimize it for some reason. Oh, there, maybe I got it now. Yeah, confusing. All these things are confusing. All right, let's see. Get rid of that. You have to bear with me a second. All right, so.
We cannot see the verse now.
Oh, well, how could I get rid of the verse for you? I mean, I'm not the administrator, right?
I can share it, Mataji.
Well, I'm trying to find my screen. All I could see was your screen, but I have my own screen where it has my own... You know, I was trying to put the video on, but it was your video I was trying to put on, not mine, apparently. Oh, boy. Sometimes it's very easy, and sometimes it's just very confusing. So you can share the verse, but I have to have my own verse, basically. So I'm bringing up my screen, and I minimized yours. Can you put the verse on yours?
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you. And I'm trying to find, so that covers up my whole screen for some reason. I can't see my own computer. All I can see is just your screen. I can't even access my screen.
Can you press the escape key on your keyboard and then it is going to take you out of this full screen view?
But there's no escape key there. That's what I'm saying. All I see is your screen. I can't access mine at all. And that's why I...
Mataji, just stop the sharing. I can read from.
Okay. All right. So now I can see my screen.
Yeah. Okay, Mataji.
All right. Sorry about that. All right. And is that yours? That is yours. Huh? Very different. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. One second. This is Canto 4, Chapter 29, Verse 51. Shamgore, can you do the Sanskrit for me?
Yes. Sarve priyatamaschatma yato na bhaya manvati iti veda sarve vidvan yo vidvans gurur harihi.
Okay. Thank you. Sahi, by certainly, priyatama, the most dear, cha, also, atma, super soul, yata, from whom, na, never, bayam, fear, anu, little, api, even, iti, thus, veda, one who knows, sahi, by certainly, Vidvan, educated, Yahi who? Vidvan, educated, Sahi. Guru, spiritual master, Hari, not different from the Lord. Translation. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated, and one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the world. One who is an actual bona fide spiritual master, representative of Krishna, is not different from Krishna. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, a spiritual master is described in every scripture. Oh, Shakshad Varite Nasamasta Shastra Yuktasatata Bhatta Eva Sadhi. The spiritual master is described in every scripture as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master is accepted as identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. The purport is that both the super soul and the individual soul are very dear to everyone. Everyone loves himself. And when he becomes more advanced, he loves the super soul also. A person who is self-realized does not recommend the worship of anyone but the super soul. He knows that to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead is easier than to worship various demigods under the influence of lust and the desire for material enjoyment. The devotee is therefore always engaged in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Such a person is a true guru. In the Padma Purana, it is said, even if a Brahmin is very learned in Vedic scriptures and knows the six occupational duties of a Brahmin, he cannot become a guru or spiritual master unless he is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, if one is born a family of dog eaters, but is a pure devotee of the Lord, he can become a spiritual master. The conclusion is that one cannot become a spiritual master unless he is a pure devotee of the Lord. One who is a spiritual master in accordance with the above descriptions of devotional service is to be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present. According to the words mentioned here, Guru Hari, consulting a bona fide spiritual master means consulting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should therefore take shelter of such a bona fide spiritual master. Success in life means accepting a spiritual master who knows Krishna as the only supreme beloved personality. One should worship such a confidential devotee of the Lord. So, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashacha Deshatani. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistyam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadatmayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jita Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radhakrishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Itamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavani Sri Prishavanustate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanshakalpa Trivasta Kripa Sindhuve Vachapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adoita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is quite a significant verse. It talks about how the spiritual master has to be a pure devotee of the Lord to actually be a guru. Not qualified just by birth or brahminical qualification. But to be able to preach about Krishna, one has to also be a devotee. So a bona fide spiritual master is the direct representative of Krishna. And here, Prabhupada says, one who is an actual bona fide spiritual master representative of Krishna is not different from Krishna. So, we know many years ago there was a group of Prabhupada's disciples that decided that these kind of verses meant that Srila Prabhupada was Krishna. And Prabhupada was very upset with them. He was very angry. He actually kicked them out of ISKCON. He made them go away. Not too far, but he definitely was not pleased with their conclusion because they were saying that he was the personality of Godhead, where the teaching is that one who is very closely related with Krishna on that platform as a pure devotee and as confidential servant is non-different than Krishna as far as being his representative and his voice in this world. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, these were his beloved disciples. He let them rejoin the temples after they understood their philosophical mistake. So it wasn't too funny at the time, but like the wife and the husband are one, but they're not really one. And the wife may be the representative of the husband, but she's not the husband. So Prabhupada's explaining this particular verse and explaining how the pure devotee is the voice of Krishna in the world. Like Prabhupada said that he was writing these purports and that it was actually Krishna writing these purports. But actually it was Prabhupada being the confidential servant of Krishna writing the purports that Krishna was somewhat dictating to him how to write. So in this age, everyone's intelligence is so degraded. Our intelligence is covered over by so many things. We're coming from pretty heavily contaminated backgrounds on many levels. And so our actual intelligence, spiritual intelligence to understand spiritual, fine spiritual subject matter is also compromised. It's not always easy to understand all of these very fine points. And because of this type of material contamination of our spiritual intelligence, there are mistakes made by neophyte devotees in their execution of the instructions of the pure devotee. Like Prabhupada says, in certain places, he talks about women being less intelligent and so many things like that. But that doesn't mean something negative. And when the person with the wrong contaminated intelligence gets a hold of some of the verses, he may quote what Prabhupada has said, but he may misuse what Prabhupada has said, not really understanding the finer intelligence behind what Prabhupada was saying. So to work within ISKCON sometimes can be a little challenging, especially if you're at the temple or, you know, dealing with a lot of devotees. Sometimes someone will come up with a quote from Srila Prabhupada that isn't really fine-tuned because their intelligence is not as detailed as Prabhupada's, of course. So they may come up with the wrong conclusion. So we have to, if we understand ourselves, we have to kind of overlook their mistake, basically. Just by meeting Srila Prabhupada, it was easy to see that his ability, I'm sure it was his spiritual intelligence along with his material intelligence, was so fine and so precise and so elevated that when he said something, it was like volumes of knowledge being spoken, especially in his personal presence. It was very dynamic. So we're kind of like lead, you know, and Prabhupada was like gold. We're making some advancement, but not always able to understand the finer rungs of the spiritual subject matter. And especially different languages, you know, some of these finer languages of Sanskrit and the languages of higher class society, like so much of our literature is written by people like Rupa Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur. I mean, they were written in a very pure language. So you have to deal with translation. And my understanding of Sanskrit is someone who's actually a Sanskrit scholar, like Srila Prabhupada, could actually make up words according to certain criteria. But the English language is a very base language. So to translate all this spiritual subject matter into the English language, you know, Srila Prabhupada did a very good job. Some of the words he used may not have been exactly what we think that they mean. Anyway. So in the Christian tradition, there is a verse or quote where Jesus says that I and the Father are one. So as far as I'm concerned, this was what he was talking about. He was talking about the fact that he was so close to the Lord and he was the voice of the Lord in this world, that they were one. But some groups take it to mean that he was saying that he was God. But that doesn't go along with all the other things that he said, like he was going to go sit at the right hand of the Father. You know, he would have just said, I'm God. But so we see it in this other tradition also, where the spiritual master is so closely related to the Lord that they are one with the Lord. In the purport, Prabhupada says that both the super soul and the individual soul are very dear to everyone. Everyone loves himself, and when he becomes advanced, he loves the super soul also. So if people made some spiritual advancement, the common people in this world, if they made some spiritual advancement, they would learn to love themselves besides their body. And this is where there's a lot of difficulty in our society in the world. because people think that they're this material body, their whole self-esteem and vision of others is on this bodily platform. So if someone has an unattractive body, they're karmically, they're ugly, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about himself. He said he was not an attractive person. I believe he used the word ugly. People are overweight, they're unusual looking, you know, they're not the typical American or model that we see. You know, it becomes discouraging for people. People bully other people because of irregularities in appearance or even disabilities. And there's a lot of chaos and difficulty on that level. So people don't love themselves because they think myself means this vehicle, this body. And so there's turmoil and despondency and I mean, even suicide. People, they can't take it. They're discouraged in this life because they feel that this body is all in all and it's not fitting perfectly into this world. And so what's the use of it? I might as well not live. Or they're being bullied. We see in a lot of these cases of people that have committed violence, you know, with shooting a lot of people and such, they were just so bullied or so disrespected that they became angry and just wanted to hurt those other people. But if they understood that they're not this body, that this body's just a vehicle, and hey, what, you know, it's not the most important thing if your vehicle is not a five-star vehicle. So this little bit of knowledge is such an important thing. And in the teachings and the scriptures of the Christian, you know, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. If we learn to love ourselves and learn to love the super soul, the Supreme Lord, and stop using our love in a misdirected way for sense gratification, trying to love something to listen to, love something to eat, you know, all this misplaced use of our love, then we can actually develop love for other living entities and care. And the more we chant and the more we associate with devotees and make progress, we can see that change taking place in our own heart. It may be gradual and it may take lifetimes, which is fine. What else are we going to do? But we learn to care about other living entities that are suffering, you know. And it's because we've understood these little small points that we're not this body. Prabhupada, he talked about it over and over again. You're not this body. You're not this body. Because it's actually such a big thing. It's a small point, but it's a big thing. If people can understand this one little part of life, it would change so much in this world. I was giving a tour yesterday at the palace again, and I got to the point where we have the picture of the changing bodies, and I always talk to people about that because it's such an important point for them to understand that this vehicle, this group came in, it was an Indian family, and they had three sons, and one was like 7, one was probably 10, the other one was maybe 12, and the mother said, oh, can you please, you know, talk to my kids too and explain about Prabhupada and such. So when we got to the changing bodies, I just turned to the boys and I just explained to them about the soul and the material body and how it's the vehicle. And, you know, it makes a difference. Young people are in school. They're surrounded by other young people that are not of a high consciousness. So there's apparently a lot of bullying going on. because of race or, you know, anything that's different. Some people are bullied, and it's a difficult thing for a child. But if they can understand that these people are in ignorance and that that they're a beautiful spirit soul in a material body and the body is just their vehicle, it helps. So the idea to love your neighbor as yourself and to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, these are teachings that are in the Bible also. But when people aren't more deeply informed, it becomes just a shallow thing. People try. But when you actually understand the depth of the soul and how all souls are related in different bodies, it just makes it so much easier to have respect and some kind of care for all living entities, even the plants. Oh, we have a lady here, Vidya, who grows the flower gardens or supervises it. And if you pull off a flower in her presence without cutting it, you just rip it off. I've known in the past she pulled someone's hair and say, "Do you like that? Do you like that?" So this plant is feeling that you're just ripping off their flower. So you need to get some scissors and cut the flowers off. And it's a fact. All the living entities have a certain amount of consciousness. So to be mindful of that and to respect, to cause them as least harm as possible. And we can do it in our own simple way, you know, with our own flowers and plants and vegetables. It seems like a small thing, but it's actually... that's how the world is going to change. It's going to change when people are mindful of their own simple everyday activities and change it to make a more peaceful, less aggressive way of life, even on a simple level. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is 337. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the modes of material, the material mode of passion, and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world." So when people are not informed that love is on a higher spiritual platform, they get consumed by what they think is love, which is lust. And this lust is just wreaking havoc in the world, right? The world is overrun by unnecessary activities based on different degrees of lust. And so people are running mad after this lust, thinking that this is love, when in fact it's the total opposite of love. It's a material perversion of actual love. So the sinful activities are mounting in this world, and people are leaving families for so-called love of somebody else, or just so many misconceptions of this idea of love. So to actually develop a love on a spiritual platform is only advantageous to the whole world. So the devotee is always engaged in loving devotional service of the Lord. Such a person is a true guru. That is from the purport. So we see the word guru in this world being thrown around very commonly, even on a very mundane platform. You know, there's the vegan guru or the, you know, music guru. I mean, guru is a word that has a lot of meanings. It's true. And the language it comes from is a very detailed language. But when the word guru is used for a spiritual teacher who is not really a devotee of the Lord, then it's misplaced. If someone is teaching impersonalism or Maivadi philosophy, they're really not a guru because they're not teaching about the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada was really heavy about this, and in so many places he calls them rascals and fools. And sometimes, you know, I know certain devotees who have been kind of distanced themselves because they didn't like the fact that Prabhupada was using such heavy terms, these rascals, these fools. But then when you look into the harm that it does to the spiritual vision of somebody to teach them this impersonalism or Mayavad philosophy, especially by using Krishna's words, you know, it's not such a heavy term to call someone a rascal and a fool, because they're misleading people. They're posing themselves as knowing, and they're using Krishna's words, but they're teaching the complete opposite of what Krishna is saying. So for Prabhupada to call them rascals and fools, but you know, if Prabhupada was in their presence, unless they were aggressively adamant, Prabhupada could convince some of these people and take them up to a higher level of understanding. And that's the mercy of an advanced pure devotee, a Vaishnava. He can actually elevate even a Mayavadi or an impersonalist to a higher understanding of the things Krishna's saying and help them out of that dilemma of impersonalism and help them understand who they actually are. It says after many births they can reach that platform, but someone like Prabhupada could immediately move someone from a misunderstanding of Mayavad or impersonalism to the actual understanding of devotion. And it goes on in the purport, even if a Brahmin is very learned in Vedic scriptures and knows the six occupational duties of a Brahmin, he cannot become a guru or a spiritual master unless he is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even, and this is always a kind of a problem, at least it was years ago, the Brahmin class, the people born in a Brahmin family were not always, they were not accepted necessarily as a Brahmin, just because they were born in the family of a Brahmin. And they certainly wouldn't be accepted as a spiritual master just because they're born in the family of a Brahmin. But if someone's born in the family of a dog eaters or a chandala, you know, someone in the West who is doing all kinds of abominable things, if he learns the science of Krishna consciousness, and if he surrenders to Krishna and the pure devotee and learns, he can become elevated to the platform of being an actual bona fide spiritual master. So the next verse is 4:29:52. The great Saint Narada continued, "O great personality, I have replied properly about all of that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential." Purport: Srila Narada Muni is personally acting as the spiritual master of King Bharishma, which is, It was Narada Muni's intention that although his instructions through his instructions, the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activities and take to devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. As the following verse will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons, who were away from home executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him. But when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruit of activity, is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take to devotional service from the beginning of life, as Prahlad Maharaj advised. So this verse, Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use this human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved. And although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So according to the instructions of the Vedas, we can understand that unless one takes to Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is simply wasting his time engaging in fruitive activities of material existence. Narada Muni therefore decided to relate another allegory to the king so that he might be induced to give up family life within material existence. So here we are. The spiritual master has come. The pure message is there. We've accepted the spiritual teachings. But it's not so easy to give up our connection with family and material connections, basically, our material mindsets. We see even in our ISKCON society. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj referred to it as stubborn obstinacy. We're very stubborn. We don't really want to give up our sense gratification or connection with material sense gratification, basically. And we see within our ISKCON society, even though the devotees who met Srila Prabhupada years ago spent time with him personally, still a lot of them are not able to give up family life. Prabhupada recommended giving up family life at 50. You know, we see very few people. I only know two, I think, that have been able to do that. And, you know, there are devotees that are still living in family life, that where the husband and wife are basically living a vanaprastha life. They're just doing devotional service. They're working together. And that's glorious. And this was not a criticism by any means. It's just an observation that it's not such an easy thing to do. Prabhupada himself left family life at 55. And perhaps if his wife had been desiring to fully engage in the service that Prabhupada wanted to do or was told to do or had the inspiration to do, he may have stayed in a vanaprastha situation. But the idea is to give up our strong attachment for material attachments. sure, our families are important. Sure, we have to stay connected. But how we stay connected, on what level we stay connected, you know, that's the important thing. We need to make advancement, staying connected on a different higher platform. This is how we can make gradual progress. There's a story, and I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. And it was concerning Narada Muni, and he had a disciple. And the disciple was getting older, and Narada Muni went to him and told him, okay, you know, it's time to renounce family life. Come on, come with me, you know, and, you know, get into preaching and stuff. And the man, oh, no, not quite yet. I'm not ready yet. I just have to, you know, get the business all ready for my sons and all, just now coming. And then Narada Muni went away, and he came back some years later, and the man was still there. Okay, you got the business all set for the family. Let's go. No, not quite yet. I have to just make sure that the sons get married and everything goes well. Okay. So Narada Muni goes away and he comes back sometime later. Okay, let's go. No, I have to look after that. I've got the grandchildren. And anyway, the story goes on. And then sometime later, Narada Muni comes back again. And he sees the man's not there anymore. And then he hears someone calling him, and he looks, and there's a snake in the yard of the house where his family lives. And he says, oh, here I am. And Narada Muni said, still? You should have come with me before. And so Narada Muni calls one of the sons, and they go after the snake. Anyway, just a kind of a humorous story that it's never time to get fully renounced. But at the same time, when you start getting old, like some of us older devotees, you know, you look back and time has gone so fast. And I know Radhanath Maharaj often mentions, you know, you can't take back one moment of time that you've wasted. And I think only we can decide for ourselves when we're wasting time, you know, doing unnecessary things, whatever it is, shopping unnecessarily, listening to some music unnecessarily, watching a movie, you know, things that we could be making some spiritual progress or helping the mission of our spiritual master. So we need to gradually use our intelligence and understand that our life, for whatever, can end at any moment. Really, we really don't know. We see so many devotees are departing now. Someone's got cancer at a very young age and they have to depart. You know, so many things. It's COVID. We just don't know. So we want to be serious. We want to put our Krishna consciousness first in our life and try and make the best use of a bad bargain, whatever our situation is, and just do the best we can. Not to become despondent, not to become discouraged if our situation isn't exactly how we think we can make the most advancement. It actually says there's no material impediment for spiritual advancement. Certainly living in certain situations might be better, but still we make the best use of what we have. And we attract Krishna and our spiritual master and please them by doing as much as we can, as consciously as we can, as possible. You know, even if it's just deciding that we are going to chant more seriously or more attentively, you know, baby steps, as they say. I mean, if we can take big giant steps, as long as it doesn't put anyone into distress. You know, I know people from the past that wanted to renounce their families and go take sannyas when they were like 30 years old. And sometimes they did, and sometimes it worked out, and sometimes they did, and then they ended up getting married to somebody else, and sometimes, you know, they didn't take that, they just stayed with their family and worked in that way. So, I mean, it's ultimately our decision how we do things, but we want to use our intelligence and not try and move faster than we actually can. And as far as our family goes, you know, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining to start from a very young age. So however we can influence the youth, then we do the best we can to help them mold their life for Krishna service. And that is, of course, their individual choices when they get a certain age. When they're young, we can do more. We can have Krishna music, children's videos, children's books, color books, so many things to influence them. But when they reach a certain age, they're going to decide how much and how they're going to go forward. And there's really, you know, not much that we can do at that point, except to stay their friend and association with them so that they can make some progress. And in some cases, the kids have gone on far beyond what the parents were doing. So we never know. We have a lot of young people coming here from the local community that have some interest in Krishna consciousness, and some of them are making wonderful progress. You know, just some local young person. We never know when someone is ready to make progress in their spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada was such a dynamic person. I mean, who could have taken these books, these teachings, and translated them into English? So many of them, with such precision and such depth of knowledge of the philosophy and all the different scriptures. It's just, actually, it's astounding that Prabhupada did what he did. Especially the fact that he was in his 70s, but the fact that he was in his 70s organizing and helping to build temples and dealing with thousands of disciples and traveling. How is it possible? How is it humanly possible? It's really not. I mean, Prabhupada was such an exceptional soul that he could do so much in such a short span of time. I mean, I see my life from the time I met Prabhupada until now. It's like over 50 years, and I haven't done hardly anything. You know, I mean, and that's not a statement of humility. That is just a reality. You know, we can spend so much time listening to our wayward mind that's going here and there and here and there. You know, it's very easy to, the mind just carries us away. And after 10 minutes, we realize we've just been in a conversation with our mind about something that doesn't really matter all that much. You know, it's just like we're conditioned souls and we're very influenced by our bodily senses and our mind and our intelligence. So we have to be careful to protect our little plant of devotional service so that we can actually someday get to the place where we can see Krishna and we can develop that love and love for ourselves, love for the Supreme Lord, love for all living entities, and be a beneficial part of the creation. There's so much destruction going on in this world, on the personal level, the mental level, the social level, just the ecological level. There's just so much negativity, and the planet, nature is reacting. You know, there's so many people that are just abusing everybody and everything, and even themselves, their own body and their mind, and they're being preyed upon by other people that want to exploit them and the resources of this world. Just so much of it going on. It's, you know, the Hare Krishna movement is very small compared to the madness of a material contamination and the thrust of material aggression that's going on in this world. Very small. So, but when Prabhupada came, it was really small. There was Prabhupada, the great general, coming to the West armed with knowledge, pure devotion, and books. And Krishna opened one door after another, and Prabhupada built this society. And the devotees that picked it up, they've continued building this society. So we have a whole world of beautiful connections, devotional activities, literature, lectures, projects. But even all that, it's still small compared to all the other stuff that's going on. So we don't want to become complacent. We don't want to think our job is finished because whatever. Because we've been around a long time, because, oh, I've done so much service, because we had a successful project that we did once. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. We're part of the solution. We're like the doctors. We have to continue just distributing the medicine that will help cure and take care of those that have come. It's very sad when I see it, you know, here in New Vrindavan. Sometimes there's someone that's doing a lot of service and some other group or some other individual doesn't like them or doesn't like the way they do something or preach or they're whatever, they did this, they did that wrong. You know, and then you just drive that person away because you're so unappreciative. There's a woman here. Her name is Jasoda. She came here. She's initiated by Jayapataka Maharaj. She came here to start devotee care. She is she's not a nurse, but she is a trained caretaker. And she desperately wanted to start a project here. You know, a house, get property with some type of a building to do devotee care. She wanted to do hospice. She wanted to take care of aging devotees. She said, I love taking care of old people. Old devotees, she wanted to do this. And she was here she's been here at least 5 or 6 years. Trying all different ways. She's the devotee care person for New Vrindavan, and she has different older devotees here that are either inbound in their home for physical reasons. And she, you know, she works with an agency in town. Somehow she gets paid for doing some of and the temple's probably given her some compensation. But she's leaving. She said, I can't get it going here. I just can't, you know, no one came forward with whatever advertising she was doing to help her get property or a house where she could make New Vrindavan, which is a central location surrounded by devotees, a perfect place for people to come to die. Prabhupada said it's not different than Vrindavan. Nobody backed her. Nobody gave her money. Nobody helped her. Nobody. Anyway, she's leaving. She's going to Arizona. She's going to buy a house because she can work there, buy a house and do a small project in her house, taking care of a few elderly people, not necessarily devotees. And she said, you know, the whole time I've been here, the administration has never come and appreciated anything I'm doing. Has never come and thanked me. And I felt so bad because she's done so much. And she's like a very strict devotee. And yeah, administration has never come forward and even thanked her or backed her up or asked if she needed anything. And she said, I'm so disappointed. She said, I thought that, you know, the devotees would care about what I'm doing. I want to take care of devotees. And they're having a going away. They had a going away party for another devotee who's been here in the temple doing different services, who's been here maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And Jasoda's been here for like 5 years. And they had a going away party for this other devotee, but not for her. It's just very sad. I'm just saying that we have to also take care of the devotees that are in our presence and not spend time either individually or jointly finding fault with the things that other people are doing. I mean, I could make something out of this situation. I could go to somebody and say, well, this so-and-so administrator didn't care and look at him and he's like this and he doesn't, you know, what kind of administrator is he? You know, it's like you can make something like that happen, but why? I'm sure our wonderful administration didn't even realize for some reason. Didn't realize she wasn't on their radar for some reason. It's not that they didn't appreciate her. They did. And I'm going to tell them before she leaves that they should definitely call her. But I'm just saying it's an important thing, appreciating devotees for what they do and not seeing the bad side of them, you know, or the foolish side or the whatever. Just it's an important thing. If we want our movement to grow, we have to get out of the anartha of fault finding. It's just something that we shoot ourselves in the foot as an organization to find fault with other devotees. There's definitely faults. We know there's faults, but to find a way, a positive way to deal with things is much better for us and much better in the long run for everybody. And who knows, it might even help that person grow if you go about it in the right way. And as Yugala Kishore would say from Farmington, I'm preaching to myself. We also have to be careful. All right, so I see that it is 8:30. And so are there any questions or anything anyone wants to add or correct or whatever?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavatanam, such a wonderful and nectarian class, Mataji. And giving each examples about Prabhupada, it was so nice, Mataji. I request all the devotees, if you have any questions or realizations to Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Okay, can you excuse me just for 1 second?
Yes.
Get your questions again. Okay, I'm back. So do we have any questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranams. Very nice, Mataji, you explained it so beautifully and put things in perspective for us. Mataji, I just had one thought in the beginning of the class when you said the video was not turning on. Sometimes it has helped me that I reboot my system before a class and it helps me, you know, start the video. So I just wanted to see if that helps you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Well, I had everything set up and then I had to go dress and I came back. But there shouldn't really be any reason. I usually just plug in my webcam and it just didn't. I try and open it up and it just says you cannot start the video. Failure to start the video camera. Please select another video camera. So I don't know what other video camera I would be selecting. Anyway, I'm not the most super technical person, but it seems like it should be quite easy, but it's usually there's a picture of my video camera and it's just not there. I mean, I do see the video camera bar, but when I press it, it says it cannot start. So I don't know. Anyway, any other questions? I know computers are funny. Sometimes you have to restart them for something to connect properly. I have that at work. So it's very possible something like that happened.
Hi, Krishna Mataji.
Yeah.
Somehow I was having no video issues before this class because I was on another call. And right now I am having video issues, so I can't see you. But my question is about this devotee. I think you said her name is Jashomati?
Jasoda.
Oh, Jasoda. Yeah. And you were saying that they did appreciate her, but everything you described seemed to suggest that they didn't appreciate her. She wasn't on their radar. They let her go away without, you know, going away, you know, some kind of thing. I mean, she didn't leave yet, I think, but, you know. She will be. She wasn't feeling appreciated. So I'm wondering how you sense that people were appreciating her.
Well, they can't help but appreciate her. She's doing wonderful work. And it's work that they wanted done. And I know they appreciate her. But sometimes when someone's an administrator, they're not, you know, everyone's got a different disposition. Some people are super friendly. Years ago, there was a temple president. When we lived in Detroit, Govardhan was the temple president. And he was wonderful with the devotees, very personal, would bring back gifts for them, you know, just real personal. But he didn't chant his rounds. He didn't come to Mangal Arati. And so some of the devotees complained, and the local GBC, who was Satsarup Maharaj at the time, was going to replace him. And Satsarup Maharaj came, and he brought this devotee, Madhavananda, and his wife, Kasalya. And Madhavananda was a real pukka devotee, you know, real good into a sadhana. And he was going to replace Govardhan. And Detroit is right across the river from Windsor in Canada, and Prabhupada was in Windsor. So Satsarup Maharaj came, he introduced Madhavananda to everyone. Madhavananda started to take over. So Prabhupada the next day went off to Windsor. I mean, Satsarup Maharaj the next day went off to Windsor to go see Srila Prabhupada and tell him of this great change he had made. And he came back the next day. like a little puppy dog with his tail between his legs. And he said, I told Srila Prabhupada that Govardhan, that I was replacing Govardhan with Madhavananda. And Prabhupada said, why? And he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, everyone knows he's not chanting his rounds and he's not attending the program. And Prabhupada got very visually angry. He slammed his hand on the table and he said, he's not chanting his rounds, but at least he's honest enough to admit that he's not chanting his rounds. I want him to be the temple president. And Madhavananda left and Govardhan resumed his service. There, you know, there's different kinds of people. So if someone's an administrator and they're not real friendly and real out, they're just not that type of person, they're not going to appreciate. It just so happens that the lady who had the going away party was a very close friend of the administrator's wife. So she arranged the going away party. I mean, when you have a big project and there's so many people and so many, you know, like offices and departments and so much work to be done that you overlook things. And it just so happened that she was overlooked. I know she was appreciated, but she was overlooked. It's not an excuse. It just seems to be a reality. Somehow or other, sometimes people get overlooked for what they're doing. But Govardhan made it a point of appreciating, you know, when I was the temple president, I had a festival for the devotees, an appreciation festival. And I would call every person up and thank them for all that they were doing in whatever department. And I had little gifts for them of different Mahaprasadam. And
you said that when you were in what role?
When I was the temple president here in New Vrindavan.
Okay.
So, I mean, I made it a point, but that's kind of maybe more my nature. So whatever, it was just pointed out because it's also an important thing to appreciate the devotees and what they're doing. Whatever level you're on of service, you know, you appreciate what somebody did right next door, dressing. Two people were dressing next to me. Someone dressed Nathji, somebody else dressed Gorni Thai. I dressed Radha Vrindavan Chandra this morning. And to take the time to appreciate the work that they've done, it's a nice thing. So encouraging devotees to continue on and to be inspired that their service is appreciated is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And as Yugala Kishore would say, I'm preaching to myself. You know, I have to remember also to appreciate. So anyway, yeah, sometimes.
So Prabhupada, Prabhupada's point in wanting that, was it, his name was Govardhan?
Govardhan, yes.
Was that even though he knew he wasn't chanting his rounds, it was what his way of encouraging him despite that, or just trying to appreciate whatever it was he wasn't doing in devotional service? You know, in other words, like, for example, why wouldn't Prabhupada have been concerned that maybe in his position he might have been setting a bad example or something? What was Prabhupada's anger really about?
Well, I mean, that's a question you'd have to ask Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very possible that at another time or in a letter or maybe in a phone call, I'm sure when Prabhupada saw Govardhan, maybe he mentioned to him, you know, it's important, you know, about the chanting, you know, what is the problem here? Why are you having, you know, in a more personal way. But on so many levels, Govardhan was doing a great job. And he had been the temple president there in Detroit for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the details. I just know that part of the story. I don't know the details. Maybe he chanted his rounds for, you know, so many years, and maybe due to too much work, or maybe due to something, maybe he just stopped, or maybe, you know, I don't know that. I don't know exactly what happened. All I know is just because someone is strong in their sadhana doesn't necessarily mean that they're a better temple president than somebody else.
Yeah, and so, he was reinstated, right?
Yeah, he went on to be the temple president for years after that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Okay, Haribol.
Haribol.
Okay, anybody else? I'm sorry, my apologies that I was late and that I somehow or other didn't connect properly so that you could see me, but maybe just as well that you couldn't see me. Luckily, I didn't start giving class to the Baltimore people. That would have been a mess. Okay, anybody there?
Thank you very much, Mataji. Devotees, do you have any other questions or realizations to Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Koti Koti, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for your deep, deep devotional association.
Dear, I can hardly hear you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Koti Koti, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for your deep Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for letting me.
Thank you so much.
Haribol, thank you. Thank you for tolerating my so many mistakes.
No, Mataji, no mistakes. You are doing exactly what, you know, Prabhupada said in purport, like you have to denounce everything and then. Like that you are saying in Sri Vrindavan, right next to the temple.
Yes, I'm fortunate to live in New Vrindavan right next to the temple. Yeah. So much easier. Right. Can you hear all the crackling, or is that just my speakers or something?
No, I hear it also.
Okay, so it's somebody else's. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Not
it's
me.
Not yours. It's not yours.
Okay, yeah. So I'm flying to California on Saturday, and I'll be there 3 weeks. So I don't have any other classes, I don't think, with you.
Yeah, but California is very difficult because 3 hours.
Yes, that's why I'm telling you, because I don't think I have another class scheduled with you. So
yeah,
kind of a last minute thing. So I'll be back, and I'll be, unfortunately, in many ways, in New Vrindavan all winter. I usually go to Alachua, and last year I went to the Hawaii temple, but this year I think I'm going to have to stay in the snow and the ice. So I'll be happy to do some classes.
Yeah, because it's very cold there in New Vrindavan.
Yes, it's just a lot of ice and dreariness and no leaves and so many things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I better go. I gotta get some breakfast.
Thank you very much, Mataji. All goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us. Let's pay our obeisances to Mataji. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo namo namaha. We look forward for your association, Mataji. Grant us Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, har praise. Jai Shri Devi Mataji ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Next time.